Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I'm here with my co-host, Alfred Adisk, to bring you opinion and our commentary on today's economic and political events. Today is Thursday, March 6th, 2014. Oh, man, what a day. There's so much items going on, but it was a very good day for gold today. We're going to talk about investors going into the municipal bond markets after fleeing. It's like, okay, how dumb can you be? Yes, Staples, they're shuttering doors. We're going to be talking about Disney laying off people and lots of other things. We're going to give you an update on Tolving from California. And but first, the first segment of the program today, we do have Wendy Wilson joining us from the Apothecary Herbs. But first, let's get to the precious metals market today. Markets were weird today. It was like the markets opened. They all did what they, you know, they all went up, and then they just stood there all day long. They fluctuated maybe a couple cents, but not a lot of activity throughout the day. So you had the gold up 1351, up 1390 today, and the high on the day was 1354. So it opened up at 1334, and it went up and just kind of stayed up in this level all day long. Silver up 29, same thing. 21.55 is the asking price for silver at the moment. Platinum is up 7 at 1488, and palladium up 9 at $784. USDX today, that went down today, down 0.40. It came back a few digits, but we're currently at 79.67. 79.67 with crude up oil up about 50 cents at 101.93. And the paper markets were, you know, relatively the same. The S&P was only up 3, but it is hitting another record high. And as everyone is waiting the February's job report tomorrow, the Dow had gained 61 points at 16,421. The NASDAQ was not as fortunate. It just dipped down 5 points at 43.52. And it looks like mortgages are beginning to move up with the 10-year yield at 2.74% at 0.04 to the upside today. And of course, the big news or the top of the news today is all about Ukraine, the crisis. We'll be talking about that again going into the second segment of the program today. And first, I want to say ciao to Al.
Ciao.
Ciao to Al.
Ciao, bambina, you know.
And let's just get started before we get too far. You doing fine today, Al?
I'm doing all right. Now, the one thing that's interesting to me.
And what is that,
Al? This is, well, the dollar, the U.S. dollar index is just a touch below the 80 mark. I expect it to come back up to over 80 tomorrow. I expect that'll be, it'll regain some of what was lost. But we've actually had a couple of days now when the price, when the U.S. dollar index closed below 80. And again, that's just a couple little leaves in the breeze. Don't tell us anything. Doesn't prove anything. But it seems that 80 is the line that they're trying to hold on the U.S. dollar index. And it's been breached a couple of times, briefly. But it suggests that the day the trend may be down. And once it, and if it does drop below 80 on a permanent basis, or at least a, you know, for a significant period of time, and it's hard to say what we're going to see, but it, you know, little leaves in the breeze suggest that the dollar is going to have a problem.
Well, I think 80 is an important level. I mean, it certainly has established a baseline there, and having it breached that several times in the very recent weeks is very significant. And if it doesn't climb back to 80, I definitely do believe it'll touch its lows real quick. And that they will need to stabilize it. But it all depends on how Ukraine, and you think, you know, Ukraine is just going to go away in a week or two.
I won't say that
possibly.
The consequences of Ukraine will go away in a week.
No, not at all.
But I would say that in terms of the tension between Russia and Ukraine, it's going to become something of a non-event in another week or two, in my opinion. We'll watch and see.
So sure, it won't get any worse.
Nobody's going to sit back and say someone's going to invade. People may be angry about some of the results here, but
well, I'll tell you what. I read an opinion on Kissinger wrote today, and you know, he was, you know, and I'm no fan of Kissinger, but it is interesting to know what the New World Orders are talking and saying. And he had an interesting comment that we'll be talking about after the break. And he brings in the New World Order and the situation. And I just found that interesting. He says that this is not we'll talk about that. But I found that, you know, if you want to know what your enemies are doing, you have to read what they write. And anyway, we got Wendy Wilson joining us from the Apothecary Herbs as she joins us each and every Thursday afternoon for the first segment, and I bet you have lots to talk about today, Wendy.
Hi, Melanie. Hi, Al. I surely do. I want to talk about the death test. Have you heard about it?
I think, is this where we get up in the morning and we can test to see if we're alive or dead? Is that what it is?
Not exactly.
Okay.
But the scientists want to find out where the human body's weakest link is and how that's translating into longevity. So they're proclaiming they've discovered a way to determine how much time you have left to live, even if you aren't currently ill. So they're claiming that they can actually determine when your maker may call you home within a five-year window. So they got it down to within 5 years, they say. Even if you're a healthy person, they say they can predict when you can expect to die. So can you imagine the psychological implications of that? Because, you know, when you hear bad news, it affects your immune system. You know what I'm saying? And your immune system is supposed to help keep things like cancer in check. So
it also affects your life insurance premiums. You know, if this test becomes established and your life insurance company says, well, we need to know when you're likely to die within 5 years. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to live a long time, or at least they think so, they'll give you a policy. And if they think you're going to die pretty soon, no, thank you. Or at least higher rates.
I thought about the same thing, and even Obamacare, you know, they may not even insure you at all. But
you signed up. You may die before you get to the sign up, before you get signed up for Obamacare. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Well, experts are saying that they can predict your longevity with a test that includes four biomarkers. And you may be asking, what are biomarkers? Well, they are biological molecules that are usually in your blood, your body fluids, and your tissues. So science is saying that they could, these biomarkers can signal future disease. And this research is coming out of Finland, and they've developed this blood test that can indicate when someone would die from an illness in the future. So they use four biomarkers that seem to score your body's level of frailty, and scientists are calling this the death test. So they look at the biomarkers to see if they're out of sync or off kilter a little bit, and if they are, they're saying that your level of demise is magnified by five times. So the report from scientists are saying that the biomarkers can indicate a way in which a person will die even in the future. So your biomarkers
the
can
way?
Hint. Yep. Your biomarkers, they say, can hint if you're going to die from heart disease or even cancer, according to Dr. Johannes Kettinen from the Institute of Molecular Medicine in Finland. So according to him, your biomarkers are now a medical crystal ball. Well,
does it say anything about whether you're ex-spouse is going to finish you off or anything like that?
No, but you have to play devil's
advocate. I'd like to know whether if I'm going, I want to know, is it my ex-spouse or is it, you know, they just deal with diseases. Apparently,
yeah,
they don't deal with spouses.
Diseases.
Okay.
But we could play devil's advocate with this. We could, Al, because, you know, scientists, you know, could be saying to people that take this death test, the biomarker thing, they could say, hey, look, you know, your blood work says that you are a prime candidate for bypass surgery somewhere in the future. So why not just take these heart drugs now and avoid that? And, of course, the heart drugs weaken the cardiovascular system, so it does promote renal or heart failure, I should say. So eventually, the doctors could say, "See, our prediction was right," or they could tell women, "Hey, you know, you're a prime candidate for breast cancer. Why not just get this mastectomy now and get it over with?" So
Angelina Jolie do that?
Yeah, that's hello biomarkers. Yep, exactly. So, but basically, the researchers in Finland state that there's four important biomarkers that reveal a person's future health risk, and the four biomarkers are albumin, alpha-1 acid glycoprotein, citrate, and low-density lipoprotein particles. Now, I should mention that these biomarkers, they say, are connected to your liver function, your kidney function, inflammation processes, and your immune system and metabolism, and not to mention your vascular system. So this is where they're, you know, kind of being able to say, you know, you're probably going to have a heart failure down the road. And the folks in Estonia didn't believe this research, and so they had everything redone, and supposedly they got the same findings. But there's this Dr. Marcus Perola of the Institute of Health and Welfare. He's saying that this test can predict mortality independent of disease. So even if you're not sick, they're saying, you're going to have disease down the road. So I suspect they may use this to say that, you know, nearly everyone is sick and under the development of disease, and so you need treating now. Hey, let's just say that you're a college student or a high school student and you want to try out for athletic sport. And you have to go through, you know, a physical, and they find out that your biomarkers say you may have a heart attack in the future. Do you suppose they're going to let that kid play?
No, it's not only that. It might cause liability.
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to take that liability. So
about an employer?
Well, they can't determine the age when they're going to have the heart problem.
No, they're saying they can determine within five years.
5 years.
And that implies 2.5 years up and 2.5 years. They can give a center point and 2.5 years before to 2.5 years after. This is, in theory, this could affect how people are hired or fired.
Exactly.
People want to get rid of them before they die, and they assume some liability, some financial liability.
Healthcare.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
how long has this test been available? They've come up with what they call the death test.
Yeah, it's
do you have any indication when they first
Yeah, this is a research coming out of Finland, but they've known about, or they've hinted at knowing about this as early as 2007 and 2008, because the biomarkers.
That's not much of a test, though. That's not much of a test. What I'm getting to is this. Mm-hmm. If they've been at this for 7 years,
mm-hmm.
and they can't claim that they can predict within 5 years, you know, that's not much of a test. You're going to have to do this thing for 20 or 30 years, to my mind, and make your predictions and see if the predictions pan out.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the test hasn't been widely used, if that's your question. No.
Not just widely used, but how long is the data stream? All right. For example, if I took this test, say, in 2008, and they said, well, Al, you're going to die somewhere between 2017 and 2022. Well, we don't have any evidence. We haven't reached that point yet, and I haven't died yet, so we don't have any evidence that I'm going to live that long or I'm not going to live that long. And what I'm trying to get across is they've got a test,
all right.
But what kind of a track record do they have? They haven't done this long enough to really have a reliable track record.
I agree with you, and I just think, you know, I think that our Creator is the one that determines when we're going to be called home. So I just think this is another step science is taking to try to usurp the authority of our Creator. But before we run out of time, I do want to mention there's been some studies, though, that PubMed.gov put up on the biomarker theory, and they said that biomarkers that tend to get off balance or off kilter are really associated with oxidative stress, and that can produce inflammation. So their researchers recommended you can nullify or reverse that with vitamin C-rich foods and foods with lycopene, like tomatoes, to reduce that biomarker stress. Then there was another study done on that, and they agreed that this is the case with nutrition. You can do that. You can reverse the biomarker stress within 2 weeks with foods that help reverse that. And these would be foods that also reverse heart disease, diabetes, neurological disease, and even cancer. So they were recommending whole foods that contain natural minerals and vitamins and photochemicals, carotenoids, and things like that. You know, these were like things that take care of the free radical part of the issue and get rid of the oxidative stress. So a healthy diet, folks, will take care of the death test problem.
So what do you have that people could get interested in purchasing that would also help?
Right. If they need a little help. Yeah, if they need a little help getting their system back in balance, you know, definitely since these biomarkers are attached to your liver, your kidneys, your heart, milk thistle is great for the liver. It has antioxidants to help the liver regenerate the cells. And then, of course, there's herbs that you could use like hawthorn and cayenne and garlic and some other things, red clover, to help strengthen the coronary system, the circulatory system. So we have a heart cholesterol formula for that. And, of course, we do have a kidney bladder cleanse kit to help cleanse away those fine, delicate filters of the kidneys to remove pathogens. And we do have a blood cleanser, too, to help get those biomarkers back on track. So there's lots of things people can do, including a healthy lifestyle.
Then we're not really – it's questionable whether this is an accurate prediction of when
right.
you might die.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, you are seem to be saying that still, if we were to take the test and knew what the biomarkers were – they would be a valid way of saying, well, I need to do this, that, or the other in order to strengthen myself. They're
right.
valid tests,
right.
but we're not necessarily a valid predictor.
Right, and I just worry that it might be used, like you said, through medicine and the Affordable Care Act, when they do blood work on folks, that it may be just another level that they use to assess values to life and to see mm-hmm. who's worth saving and who's not. So I just wanted to alert people that, you know, it's in the works, it's there, and it may be used whether accurate or not.
All right, Wendy, give us some contact information, and we'll have to move on.
Okay, sure. They can contact us at Apothecary Herbs if they'd like a free product catalog. The number's toll-free at 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or they can visit our website, thepowerherbs.com. Thanks, Al. Thanks, Melanie. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Wendy.
Thank you.
Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. Melody and I will be back on Financial Survival in about 3 minutes. Please stay tuned.
The aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188, for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Well, I just want to update the listeners on the special that we've been running on the $5 Liberty gold pieces. It was a complete success. We sold quite a few of them, but they are a beautiful coin to have. They're a great fractional piece and one of my favorites for any type of usage for the future. It gives you privacy, protection, and performance, and I don't know what else you can ask for out of a coin. So a great coin, and I want to thank everyone for participating. But we have many, many more specials here. Discount Gold and Silver. We got some great prices on 90% silver, 50-cent pieces and quarters, but you have to give us a call at 800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. And visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And sign up for our weekly newsletter, because we also sent the special out to all those that had signed up for the newsletter. We don't do that very often, and again, it was a great success. And again, thank you. I wanted to give an update, if I can find it here, on Tolving. I guess now there's
absolutely... Okay, tell folks who Tolving is.
The Tolving Company is a company that started having problems with product delivery of gold and silver. He was online. He was an online seller of precious metals. And everybody in the industry was always commenting on, well, how does he sell those coins so low? Because nobody else can do it. And now we understand, and I tell I don't tell you listeners all the time, and my clients, if you find something that's too good to be true, it probably is. There's industry standards and prices that, you know, we should all be comparatively the same. But there was... he has thousands of orders that couldn't get delivered, and now there is, no one answering phones and just sort of a disappearance. He's doing the disappearance act. So for all of those of you out there who are waiting for orders from Tolving, I guess you'll have to get on the list, and I guess if the state can get anything out of the company, I guess you'll get your... which, you know, is available to you. But what I don't understand now is, he's probably sitting on the beach somewhere. because Jesse didn't deliver. But if you do as much as what they estimate he did, and he took his commission out of there, he had some pretty nice commissions, and he always didn't like to have the nice lifestyle. And sometimes that's what gets a lot of people into trouble. They start spending more than what they're actually making, and you end up buying multi-million-dollar homes and places and islands and cars and music boxes and everything else. And the next thing you know, you have a turn, and you're already speculating in the market. You have a turn in the market, business drops, and your history. So just ask Bernie Madoff. No, but
ask almost anyone.
Yeah.
You know, we're all subject to speculation. We look at however much money we're making, and we point and say, okay, if I'm making this much now, then next year I should be making this much, and the year after that I should be making this much. And we make these projections, and they're interesting, but the truth is we can't see into the future.
Well, I don't even think that's what happened to Tolving. I mean, you start selling product lower than everybody else to the point of where it doesn't make sense, and you have other problems going on. It might not just be a fancy lifestyle. Something happens, whether you have a gambling problem or I'm not saying that's what Tolving had, but you don't know. And I don't think it was just a case of misjudging what you're going to make the following year. He had problems, and he's had problems before. But you tell people, and they don't want to listen to you, and they'd rather save those 30 cents or a dollar or two to get the better deal, and this is what happens. So, folks, I talk about relationships, and it's very, very important.
Do you have any idea how long Tolving was in business?
Well, he's been around for a while. You know, he only started selling online as heavy as he did probably, in 08, maybe 07, 06, prior to everything happening. But he's been around longer than that. But he had his problems before, from what I understand. So,
well, he's like anyway. Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton has his problems. He's had his problems, but he's still around, But it does... Sometimes those problems are indications of character.
Well, I just wanted to bring up a couple of things we mentioned earlier in the day. Muni bonds are getting interest again. Money is beginning to flow back into these muni bonds, and they think because things are getting better, the economies are getting better, and the problem isn't so, hey, it was just Detroit. We don't have to worry about any other city. Maybe Chicago, but we won't buy their bonds. And but again, investors are going into some place that they shouldn't be. Staples, we all buy office products from Staples. They plan to shutter 225 stores. And this is the second retailer this week to announce these broad closings. And again, they cite that nearly half of its sales are now generated online. So my question now is it these stores that because they sell online is the fault, or is it the people? Have we gotten so lazy we can't get out of our house walk to the store or drive to the store, go in the store, communicate with people, and purchase things?
Well, you leave the house, Melody, and that means you can't necessarily follow your Twitter account.
But it's these people. But you know what? It is our fault.
It removes us from our computer monitors, and we don't like to go. We don't like to leave our computer monitors for any length of time.
I mean, I do agree. You can do a lot of comparison shopping online.
Absolutely.
And so forth. However, if you're able to get into the store, support the stores. I mean, that's what happened to Walmart and your mom and pop shops. No, you just, people stop comparing, stop going into the mom and pop stores, didn't even bother seeing if they had the same product. And, you know, of course, you get more choices from items sent into this country from China. There's a lot more trinkets coming in and so forth, which was the attraction. But, you know, I guess the people, you know, a lot of people are going to lose their jobs.
People will gravitate to lower prices. People will gravitate to lower prices, and that's just the nature.
It's not necessarily true that everything online has lower prices.
No, it's not necessarily true, but the competition is so stiff that if there's anything online that's being sold to any significant degree, you can bet that someone else is going to jump in and compete. It's bloodthirsty. The competition on the internet is bloodthirsty. And it
and look what
just
it's
compels
doing.
People.
And look what it's doing.
Oh,
and
I understand.
We support it.
Well, we do. It's, you know, it's one of those things, though, but I don't think we're going to stop it.
No.
I think in the end, I think the brick-and-mortar stores, they have advantages, but still most of them will not easily resist the competition from the Internet. As long as people can order from the Internet and UPS or Federal Express or someone is going to deliver within just a few days. It's actually, you know, there's a great deal of convenience and often lower prices. Not
I mean,
always,
I'm guilty.
But often,
I mean,
and
I mean, I buy lots of things online, heavy things that I can't, you know, bring home from the store if, you know, something weighs a lot and so forth. It is more convenient to bring it right to your door. I get that, but still. You know, we have a tendency to.
It's the wave of the future. There's.
I mean, the convenience. You know, just like the drive-up windows at the banks, it was just easier to drive up. Fast food restaurants. You know, hey, it's easier to drive through, get it, eat it on the go, than to go in and sit down. Our lives have become so busy and hectic that easier is the way to go. But I don't know how this works, but Disney is laying off 700 folks from their interactive unit, cutting about a quarter of its workers. So there you have a couple of jobs that will be lost this week. And
another sign of the times. Another sign of the times. I mean, Disney is it's frivolous in many regards. It's just a vacation destination. It's rides and whatever else you have there. When Disney is doing well, the economy is doing well.
Mm-hmm.
When Disney's closing doors a little bit or tighten up, it's evidence that the economy is not doing that well. It's not just they would be a good canary for the coal mine. Follow Disney and see what they're doing, and there's a good chance you'd get a pretty good indication of what's happening to the economy.
And there was an interesting article, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it today, I'll send it over to you, Al, about the income division in San Francisco, in Silicon Valley. And it's interesting because I didn't know a lot of these computer companies, how they're creating their own infrastructure from shopping, from you know, just so they're creating a way for their employees to shop, buy, change their oil in their vehicles without actually supporting the community. And I didn't know that. And, you know, we might want to talk about that tomorrow a little bit more at length. But Ukraine.
Okay.
I had mentioned.
Ukraine just, yeah, go ahead.
I had just wanted to mention about the article that, and I bet I can't. That Kissinger, opinion piece, and everything that he said is, you know, he's just a, you know, he's a diplomat as far as what all the countries should do and so forth. But what he did say that I thought was interesting, it is incompatible with the rules of the existing world order for Russia to annex Crimea. But it should be possible to put Crimea's relationship to Ukraine on a less fraught basis. But I think what's interesting is the end of this is going to be based on the existing world order. That's who's going to end the situation. So,
and how do you mean end the situation? You don't mean that they're going to impose their will on Russia per se. You think they
he's
will?
He's going against the new world order. Even Obama says it's international law. Well, to me, international law equals new world order.
There's international law that's gone back centuries and centuries. International law in and of itself is not the new world order. Whether he's actively resisting the power of the new world order, I don't know. Hard to say. But whatever's going on, again, I don't think there's going to be much change. I think Russia has succeeded in effectively, it's a fait accompli, they've taken over Crimea for all practical purposes, maybe not officially, maybe not exactly, but yet their influence is so great that it seems inevitable that Crimea will become part of Russia in the foreseeable future. So they've done this deal, and I don't think anyone's going to stop it. I don't think it's going to be stopped. I don't think anyone else has the military that they can put on site. I don't think anyone else is going to put boots on the ground.
No, I don't think anyone else is going to risk.
No, I don't. There's not going to be a military confrontation over this. No. There's going to be a bunch of jawboning, and people are talking about it, wringing their hands, saying, "Oh my gosh, this is just awful. How could they do that, Melody? This is just so terrible."
I think the wars of today are going to be different. I think the wars of today are financial wars.
I think you're right.
I think
I was writing about that a little bit earlier today.
So no, and this can be one. I mean, this could be.
It's the military, in some regards. It's almost as if, as you say, we're not necessarily going to fight wars in the future that are going to be based on bullets and bombs and maybe not even nuclear bombs. We're going to fight those wars based on hacking into somebody else's computer and crashing their infrastructure or just raising an interest rate or refusing to conduct business in a particular currency. And these nonviolent means may be every bit as effective at conducting war as military. And we're kind of headed in that direction. We're going off. And as you look at it and say, well, on the one hand, this is strange, unusual, and discomforting to be caught in a world where warfare might be conducted based on economics and the internet and interest rates and one thing or another like that. On the other hand, at least we're not shooting anybody. We're not bombing anybody. I have mixed opinions about it, but
you know,
you
say we're not killing anybody, but look at the devastation that fighting wars economically and financially. You have many people who starve. You have people who, so you can kill just as many financially as you can with bullets. And
I agree with that, but here's the problem. If Russia starts killing people, everybody in the world gets that. We understand that Russia pulled a gun and shot somebody. Bad, that's bad. Everybody says, very bad. What if Russia just changes interest rates and the economy of another nation is so badly afflicted that people start starving to death? Can you convince the average American that the reason that they're having these troubles is because Russia changed the interest rate on something over in Russia? Or are the people who are suddenly starving and afflicted in this country, for example, suppose Russia pulls a stunt, does something to adversely affect our economy, are they going to blame the Russians or are they going to blame the people in Washington, D.C.? And if they blame the people in Washington, D.C., all of a sudden the American people may be going after Washington, D.C. Russia doesn't need to bomb them. Just turn the American public loose on them. We can understand bullets and bombs. That's clear to us. But can we understand economics? Can we understand currency wars? Shooting wars, we got that. Currency wars, that's a lot harder. We're going to take a break for some more commercials. We will be back in a moment. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival. Please stay tuned.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival with Melody Cederstrom. Programs brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. Where do we want to go now, Melody? You want to do the Ukraine? Talk a little more about the Ukraine?
We can finish up. Yes.
All right. Let's do that. Let's do a little more on the Ukraine. Here's an article from Reuters. Crimea votes to join Russia, accelerating Ukraine crisis. I don't know that it's accelerating a crisis, but
well, it is if it's going against the New World Order. They don't want that to happen.
I don't know whether New World Order is exactly.
So we'll see. They're going against the grain.
I would say this. New World Order, if anything, wanted Ukraine to be more closely associated with Europe than with Russia.
Absolutely.
I'd say that's probably true. Insofar as Crimea is going to be, is voted, the Crimean Parliament voted to join Russia. That was today, Thursday. And its Moscow-backed government set a referendum within 10 days. The people of Crimea are going to have a referendum on March 16th. All state property would be nationalized. The Russian ruble could be adopted, and the Ukrainian troops would be treated as occupiers. They want the Ukrainian troops to go home, leave them alone. Let the Russian troops be in there. March 16th is when this is supposed to happen, and the people of Crimea will vote. Which way do you want to go? Want to go to Russia or you want to stay with the Ukraine? It's a virtual certainty that the majority Russian population in the Crimea will vote to go with Russia. So at that point in time, this is going to be an exercise, a very rough exercise in democracy. Right? What do you do when the people of a particular, what is a distinct political entity like the Crimea, and they vote and say, well, we don't want to be part of the Ukraine. We want to be part of Russia. Well, what do you do about that? You know, there are things you can complain that the rules of international law are not being precisely followed, and there's other procedures that should be implemented, and you should go through all the numbers before you get to this result. They haven't gone through all the numbers prescribed by international law, and therefore maybe it doesn't count. But if the people are sitting back and said, nope, we want to be part of Russia. Well, I don't know. And Russia wants them to be part of Russia, and they want to be part of Russia. And Russia has a bunch of cannons and tanks and whatever.
Yeah, they have military bases there. They're not going anywhere.
I understand. I mean, this is pretty much a done deal, and who was willing to go to war over it? Let me see what else we've got in this article. It's interesting. Here's one. The European Commission. Well, let me do one other one. The short, informal European Union summit on this subject will mostly be dedicated to displaying support for Ukraine's new pro-Western government. Well, big deal. They're going to display support at a meeting in Brussels. Whoopee. All right, big deal. And that's for the government of the Ukraine. The European Commission has announced an aid package of up to 11 billion euros, $15 billion, for the Ukraine over the next couple of years, provided it reaches a deal with the International Monetary Fund entailing painful reforms like ending gas subsidies. All right. So Europe is here to help Ukraine with $15 billion, provided that Ukraine reaches a deal with the International Monetary Fund entailing painful reforms like ending gas subsidies. So the point of this is the Ukraine is going to take a beating. No matter what happens, the Russians will take Crimea by force, and the West will take the remaining Ukraine by monetary subjugation. Either way, the former Ukraine is losing its former sovereignty. The major powers of the world have allegedly come to help the Crimea or to help the Ukraine. In other words, Russia is, well, we're here to help the Crimea. We're just protecting our bases. And the West is coming in to help the balance of the Ukraine with $15 billion, which is roughly a week's worth of current quantitative easing. It ain't no big deal. It might mean a lot to the Ukrainians, but it doesn't mean much to the West. The major powers of the world have allegedly come to help and help the Crimea, help the Ukraine, but no one will truly help the Ukrainians remain independent or sovereign. Instead, the Ukraine is being carved up like a nation defeated in war. I wonder what it is that Ukraine has that the world powers want. It's not oil. I know they don't have enough oil there, and net they import their oil. They're dependent on Russia
food,
for oil,
grain,
the,
corn.
Yeah, grain. They raise grain and corn and so on. That's
and they want the pipeline,
and they have pipelines. They have
want that pipeline.
Something like
they want to control. They want to control that.
40% of Russia's pipelines moving natural gas, for example, and other petroleum products, but natural gas in particular, to Europe. 40% of those pipelines, my understanding, run through the Ukraine. So all I can see is the world is getting ready to carve them up. All right? To say we're here to help or wringing their hands and whatever, but the truth of the matter is the Ukraine was weak and in the midst of something like a power vacuum. an absence of national unity, and that's what's really happening here. When you stop to think about it a little bit, the problem with the Ukraine is that ballpark figure, it's about half Russian and about half Ukrainian. And the Russians speak Russian, and the Ukrainians speak the Ukrainian language. What we have is a nation that is substantially divided ethnically. And that division and the resulting frictions have made the Ukraine vulnerable to a takeover by foreign forces. Some of the Ukrainians, some of the people who live in the Ukraine are Russians. They want to be associated with Russia. The Ukrainians, they say we're still in there. They claim to be able to control eastern Ukraine and Crimea. I said, that's ours. You can't take that from us, even though the people there don't necessarily want to be under our government. You can't take that. Russians say, yeah, I think we can. But the source of the problem is the fundamental weakness of having these ethnic divisions. Ukrainian claimed to be a single nation, but really it's not. It's two. And it's been artificially joined together, and that's a formula for, it's an invitation for trouble. One way or another, foreigners will exploit one group or the other and play the one group against the other group, and Ukraine will pay a price. I don't know whose fault that is. I don't know if this is because the Russians that moved into the Ukraine have never really been welcomed there. They moved in under, according to one of the people who talked on the program earlier this week, I think it was Zivan, who lives and who emigrated here from maybe Czechoslovakia, I don't recall clearly. But in any case, he's more in touch with this issue and the geography and the politics of that area than we are. He said that the reason there are any Russians in the Ukraine is because the former Soviet Union, particularly Stalin, caused tens of millions of native Ukrainians to be exterminated when Stalin was in office. And as a result, it created a vacuum. And people in Russia moved into the Ukraine in order to fill that vacuum and replace the people, the former Ukrainians who'd been killed. I don't know the truth of the matter, but if Ivan says that's true, it probably is. Well, however the Russians got there, they were not welcomed. And they never really assimilated. And the remaining Ukrainians sat back and said, you know, we'll control them, but they're not really going to be part of the deal. And the Russians said, wait, we want to control ourselves. But maybe we don't want to be part of your deal. We want to be part of the Russian deal. So there's a lesson here. And the lesson is, when you, historically, the definition of a nation is one race, one religion, one language, one fixed territory. Now you have a nation. When you start to divide that nation up with a multitude of not just races but cultures, it's not clear that you're strengthening that nation. That diversity may ultimately work against you the same way that the diversity we see in the Ukraine has worked against them. And this is especially true. I'm not complaining about anybody who's coming into this country. But what I am complaining about is the efforts this nation makes to allow people to move into this country and maintain the culture they're fleeing from. We shouldn't have, in my opinion, dial 2 for Spanish. Shouldn't be here. If you're coming to this country, you learn to speak English. Insofar as we make accommodations where people can come to this country and retain the culture that they're really trying to escape, we are opening the doors for the kind of trouble that's similar to what we see in the Ukraine right now. You're going to have two different nations here before this is done, and you may have more than two. While we're trying to accommodate and be friendly and polite to anybody who wants to come here. You want to come here, learn to speak English. And recognize that the reason you want to come here is that at least historically, the United States of America has had a culture that was conducive to freedom and liberty and individual prosperity. I'm not sure that's still true today, but historically it has been true, where the cultures of people that are emigrating, those cultures were not conducive frequently and almost certainly primarily were not ever conducive to liberty or freedom or individual prosperity. And people think that they can come into this culture, into the United States of America, and they can have the same kind of freedom, liberty, prosperity that was certainly once available in this country, while they retain the culture that they left, that they, in theory, left behind them back in whatever country they're coming from. And what I'm trying to communicate is the idea that those foreign cultures, those foreign cultures are exactly why, that's why they didn't have freedom, they didn't have liberty, they didn't have prosperity. It was inherent in their culture. And if they want to come to this country and still insist on keeping their culture, they're not going to get the freedom, liberty, and prosperity. Plus, they are going to help drag down whatever vestiges of our original culture are left. You got to understand, some of the foreign cultures are something like a disease. And people bring them with them and say, oh, this is just our culture. No, it's a system of values. You know, people talk about...
Well, I don't know if it's a disease, Al. I mean, that's a little harsh.
It's a disability at minimum.
I don't even
you want to
look
come
at it as
culture,
a disability.
If you're trying to escape the problems you have in your own nation, and yet you want to maintain that nation's culture when you come here, you are going to work with a disability. You know,
I agree. When we used to say, when you're in Rome, you do as the Romans. And I think true, when you come to the States, you do as what Americans do. And if you and I see your point, because if you just, it's just not a disease. I mean, I agree with everything that you're saying.
Yeah.
Lots of times you just can't mix cultures together.
I know that.
I mean, we see the problems
that's
in Iraq.
Problem.
You see the problems, you know, in Iraq. Yes, Hussein was a terrible person, but he kept order because he knew how to heavy hand the tribes.
And there were two fundamental branches of the Muslim faith in Iraq.
Exactly.
And they were always squabbling, and one side essentially oppressed the other to maintain some of the support.
Now, we tried to go there to make it all one, and look at the problems they have.
Yeah, and the point is that you're going to have to leave, if you don't want those kinds of problems, you're going to have to leave each culture handle its own problems. And you're going to have to live one culture, you're going to stay over here, and the other culture is going to stay over here. And I don't think we're going to integrate cultures the way a lot of people suppose. I don't think cultural diversity will ultimately work as an advantage that a lot of people imagine. Say, oh, this is going to be great, we'll have cultural diversity.
And I think a lot of it...
Well, maybe, we'll see, but I don't think so.
And I think a lot of it now comes back to economics.
Yeah, it does, but I'm still saying, and you mentioned this again, Iraq had that problem with dual cultures where they were at each other's throats. And Ukraine had that problem with
different cultures
where they're at each other's throats. And both of them, in that division, they invited foreign invasions. They invited foreign influence. There's something to be learned from that lesson, but we'll have to learn it another day because we're out of time. I'm Alfred Adask here on Financial Survival. I'm here with Melody Cederstrom. We'll be back tomorrow. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.